In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to The Score baseball insider Bruce Levine, our dear personal friend, and a man brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Bruce. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Great talking some baseball with you. Where do you want to begin today?
It's heartwarming, isn't it, to have the baseball season ongoing, and even if you're losing guys, and even if it's like someone who was a fan favorite like Patrick Wisdom, I every time I see a player cut, every time I see anyone DFA'd, I think to myself, well, that guy can play for the White Sox. Couldn't the White Sox use that guy? How many of these players really belong on the South Side roster?
Well, you know, it's a great question. The common thread of building a team has always been building a team from the back forward, okay? You build from your bullpen guys toward your starting pitchers. You build your backup outfielders, infielders, and catchers forward from your secondary guys all the way to the front. And somehow that's gotten away from a lot of teams. And a lot of general managers are not to blame, because the middle range player in baseball, the guy that's a $5 to $7 million player, has become pretty much extinct because of the fact that you pay so much for your star players and your upper echelon players that teams have decided with their budgets to go with young players in those backup roles. A lot of these backup roles are key roles, and they're just not equipped to come into games, be part-time players, and give you what you need, especially off the bench when it comes to outfielders and infielders. So the game has changed quite a bit there. A lot more money is going towards your bullpen now than it ever did before. So general managers and presidents of baseball operations have had to adjust the way they approach the game, and I think a lot of teams are hurting for it. You look at the Cubs, with all due respect to them last year, their extra men were not good. You know, I mean, the White Sox players, you know, your starting players weren't good. But when it came to the Cubs, you had a team that was winning 83 games. Bringing guys off the bench, you're bringing guys off the bench that were barely good enough at times to be AAA players.
All right, Bruce, let's talk about the Cubs. On the surface, it seems like they made a very good deal for Eli Morgan, a member of their bullpen now, who could help you in high-leverage situations and late-game spots. I wonder, why did they get him as cheaply as they seem to have gotten him, and what do the Guardians know that the Cubs don't?
The Guardians have a plethora of pitching in their organization. They're not going to be able to keep all of them. A lot of these things right now are predicated on 40-man rosters and people being able to keep guys in their organization. So, you know, if you're a 5-year player, and you're in the minor leagues, you know, you are automatically, and you're not on the 40-man, you're subject to the Rule 5 draft, which is right after the winter meetings, the last day of the winter meetings. So a lot of these teams want to bring guys up that they're not going to lose to their 40-man roster before they have to do it. I think Morgan falls into that area where Cleveland is just so well fortified with their pitching that they need to move younger guys up. And this guy, you know, he's a young guy too. So I think it's a great deal for the Cubs, and it's good scouting on part of the Cubs, because you have a guy right now that can go in and kind of be your Mark Leiter Jr. again in your bullpen, a guy that can pitch in the fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth. If you have to stretch it to the ninth, at his peak, you know, that's what Leiter was, such a terrific pitcher for them for the last 2 years before he was traded to the Yankees. So the build on it. Hold us, you know.
We're losing Bruce a little bit.
Hold on a second, Bruce. We got to clean up that phone line a little bit. Make sure we're understanding what he's saying.
If that's the case, and he's not injured, coming off an inconsistent showing with the Guardians, it doesn't appear that. Cubs got themselves a very good pitcher.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was reading somewhere that his numbers, they're subject to sort of inflating a little bit. They might not. His numbers were excellent, but they might have been subject to kind of changing, and there could be some evening out of those numbers. But even if that's the case, they're still going to be better than some of the
guys they've had.
If Wrigley's
exactly. Playing small.
We've got Bruce back, and we have him secure. I'm sorry, Bruce, we missed your answer there.
Yeah, so Hoyer at the general manager's meetings told us he did not do a good enough job with his bullpen last year to begin the season. It wasn't what it had to be. To their credit, him and Hawkins, they went out and they got guys during the middle of the season, and it was a really good bullpen. I think it was the third best in the National League from July on last year. But May and June, they got beat up badly. And some of those games, you know, four or five games swing because of your bullpen could cost you going to the playoffs. It probably did with the Cubs. So he was hell-bent on going forward this year, making sure that he has more fortification with his bullpen. And this is a really nice move to start it off. As David said, it doesn't look right because this was a really good pitcher for the Cleveland Guardians. But again, you're talking about maybe first or second best pitching team in baseball, right. The Guardians.
Right. Was Alcilai a 40-man roster decision, Bruce? Rarely do you see guys DFA'd when they are rehabbing, especially coming back from Tommy John, a guy who's been with the Cubs his entire professional life. What's behind that decision?
He's not going to pitch this year, okay? So with that in mind, they just didn't feel obligated to pay $3 million as a pitcher. Now, it doesn't preclude them from bringing him back as a free agent if he walks around the other 29 teams and doesn't discover a better deal while he's rehabbing. You know, there's a comfort level there, and, you know, they're fond of the guy, but they just didn't think it made any sense. And with all due respect to Alzolay, he's been hurt every year of his career, okay? He always had this really good arm. If you guys remember correctly, in 20, he was a starting pitcher, right. Had moderate success, but couldn't get through the fifth inning. Became a bullpen guy, had great success in 2023 till he hurt that arm in early September. Never pitched again till the last day of that year. And last year you saw really bad results from a guy that was probably still pitching hurt and blew tons of saves early in the year, lost his job, eventually got hurt again. So I don't think they wanted to go around with him as a $3 million player that wasn't going to play this year.
So when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So Chris Sale wins the Cy Young yesterday, right? You look, and Dylan Cease, I believe, was fourth on that list. Even Ronaldo Lopez got a vote for Cy Young. He got a fifth-place vote or something. He was on the list with one vote. I'm just wondering, when people look at Garrett Crochet, should they just run to the White Sox and be desperate to be, you know, you're effectively getting a great pitcher out of Garrett Crochet, following in the footsteps of other great pitchers that have gone on to great things. Don't you want White Sox pitchers? So shouldn't they get a hell of a deal for this guy?
Carlos Rodon says yes.
Can't you use that in your advertising?
Are you saying that the White Sox have been suckers and this is a place to go to get pitchers? Is that what you're saying?
It sounds like you said that. I think I was saying that people should be lining up for Garrett Crochet, or the Sox should hit the brakes and pay him, whatever way you want to look at it, whatever the message is. But I'm just saying, make sure you get the deal of a lifetime for this guy, because he's following the footsteps of some awful good players.
Trending well.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, if you look at some of those deals, I mean, you know, at the time, you know, the sale trade looked really good because they got back, you know, three really good pitchers in, you know, for, well, I'm sorry, that was the Washington deal. But,
yeah, that was
but,
a
you know,
good
they
deal.
They got Moncada and, yes. and Michael Kopech back.
How were they
looked
doing?
Like a great, yeah. Looked like a great deal because, you know, Moncada was considered the best player, young player in baseball by far.
And now the Yankees are looking at him as a right. defensive replacement. And you know, Kopech won a World Series just for the wrong team. I'm just saying, they got nothing out of that deal, effectively, right?
There are 10 teams that would love to have Crochet that have minor league systems that the White Sox front office are looking at, okay? The New York Mets is certainly one. The Philadelphia Phillies have been after Crochet since last fall as well with their top players. The White Sox want the top three players, not one, two, and three in every organization, but three guys and at least two, maybe three position players they can project as being players on their major league roster that contribute more than just as average players. So this is a, you know, it's a hard calculus to try to figure out exactly who is going to be your stars. If you trade Garrett Crochet, you know, you're trading someone that's a difference maker for somebody else over the next 2 years. These teams are well aware of it. The most intriguing thing about Crochet, other than his 99 to 100 mile an hour fastball, is the fact that he's going to make no more than $4 million in arbitration this year, maybe tops $9 million next year. Go try to find you know, some of these guys on the free agent market that are going to be, you're going to be paying less than $30 million a year for 3 to 6 years.
Lefty power pitcher. I mean, who wouldn't want
him? No. And these guys are not blind to it. They're really looking at it hard. I think the underlying question is Chris Getz up to the task of getting back the people he needs to for Crochet? Because he has to be right in this trade. You know, you can't have a Fernando Tatis trade here, okay? It's not going to be that. And again, that was not in Getz's watch. You know, he wasn't even in the organization at that time. But you can't afford to give away a young superstar unless you're getting something back. Again, Crochet's 2 years, so it's a shorter period of time. But that's not precluding, you know, whoever trades for him to go out and say, hey, we love you. Here's, you know, $150 million. We want to extend you. So, this is, you know, it's tough for White Sox fans to look at this and get their head around trading one of the best young pitchers in baseball. But from an organization point of view and where they're at right now, it makes the most sense.
Bruce, quickly, the Cubs we know are not going to be in on Juan Soto, according to the Tribune report this week. Will they be in on Roky Sasaki?
I think so. Yeah, I think they'll be fully on him. And it's a totally different thing than, you know, trying to sign Otani or even signing Imanaga last year, because the most he's going to get is about $5 or $6 million in bonus money for international. Then you have him for the international money from a team. That's the most that anybody's going to have to give him for the bonus. And then each year he's going to be under the same system as any player coming through major leagues for the first time. You have him at a good rate for the first 3 years, and then he goes to arbitration. So it's a very attractive thing, and it is like Otani when he came into Major League Baseball. He had a go under the same system. If you're under 25 and international player from Japan, you cannot make more than that.
Great stuff, Bruce. We really like what the White Sox are doing in terms of their staff and all that. Will Venable was great when we talked to him, so we're pleased about
that.
And
McKinven's an interesting choice as a bench coach.
Yeah, I like that.
They have a lot of smart guys coming through, and this weekend we're going to talk to Dave Keller, who's their new international scouting. So it's going to be fun.
That's a tease.
Great talking to you.
Yeah, great stuff, Bruce, as always. Appreciate it, buddy.
9 to 11 inside the clubhouse with Ryan McGuffey.
Yeah, that's great.